It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, for the phone companies at least. Thank you, FCC. For Thursday, December 21st, 2006, this is Podtech News. Movie downloads, legal peer-to-peer TV programming, and rosy predictions for the semiconductor crowd. All coming up, it's Podtech News. For Jason Lopez, I'm Paul Lancour. The FCC voted along party lines Wednesday to ease regulations governing video franchises. Why should we care? Well, up to now, many Americans have only had the choice to buy cable services from a cable company. The new rule means some communities who couldn't before will soon be buying those services from phone companies instead. Basically, cable TV services just got deregulated, though the new federal guidelines won't trump existing state laws. Some consumer groups say access for low-income or rural communities might be negatively affected. But supporters say it's about time the phone companies got a fair chance to make more money, or that is, compete on equal footing with cable operators. Podtech's Catherine Girardeau reports.
The Federal Communications Commission just made it easier for phone companies to get into the video business nationwide. The new legislation is similar to a bill signed into law by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger a few months back. Cable operators have long been the sole players on franchises offering video services, but the new rules will allow telecoms, notably Verizon and AT&T, both of whom lobbied heavily for the changes, to compete when an existing franchise's contract is up or where no local franchise exists. The new rules require local governments to speed up the approval process for new franchise applications and eliminate so-called build-out requirements that ask franchise holders to provide service to the entire population of its franchise. Opponents say the new rules weaken local governments' control over their video franchise providers, making it harder for them to negotiate for such services as closed-circuit programming for educational or local government use. But supporters of the changes say the net result will be more competition, thus lower prices for consumers. And of course, the phone companies are thrilled that they can start recouping the billions of dollars they've invested in rolling out fiber optic networks. Catherine Girardeau, Podtech News, Palo Alto.
The future of our increasingly advanced cameras is likely to involve liquid lenses. Varioptic and Creative Sensor may bring the futuristic zoom to the cameras in many mobile phones soon. A manufacturing site in China plans to produce as many as 100,000 liquid lenses a month. A few years ago, the technology was the subject of a patent battle between Philips and Varioptic. So-called liquid lenses could replace moving parts in zoom and autofocus functions. Look for the application in things like webcams, barcode readers, medical equipment, and, of course, phones. Digital camera sales are a big business, even bigger than many analysts thought. U.S. sales this year may hit a record thanks to low prices and technological advances that encourage consumers to upgrade from whatever they've already got. November saw sales of digital cameras increase 24%, a slightly greater increase than the year before. For some perspective on how the digital camera market has been growing, upwards of 30 million will be sold this year. That's more than twice the number sold in 2003, according to statistics compiled by the NPD Group. While lower prices have meant higher sales, they have cut into profits for manufacturers. Revenues are down 7% from last year for the first 11 months of this year. Now that the election season has passed, Zogbee International turns its attention to internet attitudes. In a new study from Zogbee and 463 Communications, a solid majority of Americans believe that 12-year-old kids are more internet savvy than their members of Congress. Other findings in the research show differences in acceptance of internet technology based on ethnicity, as well as comparisons between new technologies like email and older technologies like books or even cars. The results and other highlights are online at 463.blogs.com. In a move that could be a sign of things to come, the BBC will make some of its programming available on a file-sharing network. This comes after BBC Worldwide's deal with tech firm Azarias. For U.S. users, it means access to lots of BBC content using Azarias' Zudio software. It's a legal alternative to the illegal kind that we usually think of when we hear about file sharing. The Zudio service differs from other video sharing sites because it offers high definition. TV networks may have an interest in making sure that the highest quality versions of their content get out to the widest possible audience. Concerns over illegal distribution of legally obtained downloads are now being dealt with by digital rights management software in the programs. What the BBC move will end up meaning for TV networks here is still unclear. Hollywood, both TV and movies, is also looking carefully at its options. Meanwhile, the movie download space just got a little more crowded, thanks to an announcement from an unlikely source. More now from Podtech's Matt Kelly.
VeriSign, the Mountain View, California company that controls the master list of all internet suffixes, such as .com, .net, and .fr for France, is about to enter the movie download space. The new service will be run by Axiom TV, with a test version set to launch January 8th and general availability scheduled for February 1. VeriSign will distribute the movies through its Intelligent Content Delivery Network, using a peer-to-peer system to save costs and improve speeds. The content will be family-friendly, parent-approved movies and shows, and will be deployed with technology to block pornography, violence, and foul language. The site claims to be the first internet movie service focused on family-friendly entertainment. For PodTech News, I'm Matt Kelly.
Retailers make a sizable percentage of their annual profits in the run-up to Christmas. Hundreds of thousands of shoppers crowd malls and online shopping sites looking for gifts. It's a busy time for everyone. Everyone. Michael Klinger has the stat of the day.
This holiday season has already seen a dramatic 41% increase in spyware and malware. That means cyber crooks have been working overtime, right along with the rest of us. It's worthwhile to remember that it's not just companies, store owners, and of course the thousands of employees who staff all those stores during their extended holiday hours who work hard to make holiday time so special. Hackers don't get a lot of attention from most of us, and they also don't get a whole lot of respect except from their peers. Maybe that's because technically they're trying to steal our hard-earned holiday cheer. But these overworked, overpaid individuals are spending countless and thankless hours perfecting new kinds of cybercrime. The trend, according to the Malware Research Center, has been more fraud and theft, less good old-fashioned vandalism this Yuletide. Though overworked, we shouldn't feel too sorry for these cyber deviants, even though they work in dark basements with nothing but the light from their computer screens, no fresh air. Some experts say the introduction of Microsoft's Vista will bring even more opportunity for malicious hacking and thieving. No doubt they're exhausted now, especially since there have already been at least 12 days in which sales have passed the $600 million mark. But at least they'll have a break between Christmas and the end of January when Vista for Consumers hits the streets, and they can once again get busy. With the stat of the day, I'm Michael Klinger.
That's PodTech News for December 21st, 2006, produced by Matt Kelly, Michael Klinger, and Catherine Girardeau. In for Jason Lopez, I'm Paul Landcorn. Thanks for listening.